Want to continue my study with you on hope and the promise of God. And what we are doing last week and continue tonight so that I then can get into the New Testament is to show you how God's promise, which is made hundreds of years ahead of time, sometimes thousands of years ahead of time, came true. It happened just like God said it would. And because we know that it happened like God said it would, then we can believe that the promises that God has made to you and me also will come to pass just as he said it would. We started out by looking at three references, and one of them was Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We also had looked at Psalm. Now, I have to find my little clicker. I hope Dwayne didn't take it with him. Oh, I remember what happened to it. It ended up down here, didn't it? Let's hope it got left there somewhere. Uh-oh. We lost it. You can click ahead a couple of points there, brother. All right. And those are the scriptures that I started out with last week. Hope in Jehovah. The hope being laid up for you in heaven. Colossians chapter 1. And then Titus, the blessed hope. And then we went into a history study, and I did not finish the history study quite, but I would like to go through that history study, and you may click ahead a little bit, brother. As we recounted some prophecy in history, first of all, we talked about the captivity of Judah was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 39. That prophecy was given in 712 BC. I explained to you with a slide somewhere up there, it's right there, I believe, that BC stands for years before Christ. AD stands for the years from Christ's birth on to the present day. Now, we all know there's some messed up years in that figuring because it went from 1 BC to 1 AD. And nobody can tell me what happened to the year zero. And that's one thing. Another thing is they found out Jesus was actually born about 4 BC and not at 0 AD, BC, however you want to look at that. So that dear scholar, whoever he was way back when, messed things up a little bit there. But you get the picture. The second thing is that we looked at a prophecy about a king who was not yet born, but God named him, and some of the things that God said about him. Cyrus, the Persian, was prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 44, and that also was in 712 BC. However, he wasn't born for several centuries. And he didn't have a name until he was born either, did he? Then we talked about the prophecy that was repeated by Jeremiah, and we looked at Jeremiah 25, and Jeremiah made that same prophecy that Isaiah did, and that was in 606 BC. That was still a century before along came Mr. Cyrus. And then we also looked at the duration of the exile, where children of Judah and Benjamin and some of Israel were carted off from Israel all the way to Babylon and taken there along with all of the temple wealth and all of the temple things that pertain to the worship of God from the temple. Nebuchadnezzar and his minions took it all and took the best of the land and took the best of the people. And you can read all about those details in the beginning of the book of Daniel. So all of that is foretold ahead of time. Now, if you will look with me at Jeremiah 29, you'll say, 29, wait a minute, we read that this morning in responsive scripture reading. Yes, we did. I was getting you ready for tonight. Is that okay? I knew you wouldn't mind. I knew you wouldn't mind. Now, we already looked at Jeremiah 29 last Sunday night, but I'm going to review it again very quickly. Particularly the part where God says to Israel, now I know that Christians love to take this and apply it to us, but by interpretation, you can use it for application, but by interpretation, Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14, God says to Israel, he said, I've sent you to Babylon. You're going to be there for 70 years, verse 10. After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Now, where was Jeremiah when he was writing this? He was in Jerusalem. He did not get taken away with the exiles. He had started prophesying and telling them what was going to happen long before the exiles were carted off by Nebuchadnezzar. He was warning them. He preached countless messages. In some cases, God made him demonstrate a message in a very embarrassing way. And Jeremiah gives them this message. He says, after the 70 years, God's going to bring you right back here. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says Jehovah. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. God says, in 70 years, I'm going to bring you back. Now, as I was reading that, I was reminded of something I said last Sunday night and was corrected afterward. I said that my version of the ESV, which is on my iPad from the Gideons, does not capitalize the word Lord when it's Jehovah. And I scolded them on your behalf. Brother Joe said his electronic Bible does have capitals. So I looked on another electronic Bible that I have, and sure enough, they do have their capitals where they belong. Why the Gideon electronic Bible doesn't, I have no idea. So my apologies to ESV, which stands for English Standard Version. I don't know if you have them, but if you do, and I scolded you for reading one, please accept my apologies. I have no idea why the Gideon Electronic Bible doesn't, because the rest of the references I looked at do. And so let me move on. The duration of the captivity was how many years, everybody? 70. What did God say he would do at the end of the 70 years? Bring them all back. Now, he said that before he sent them away. And that brings me to chapter 25 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12. Jeremiah 25, 11 and 12. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass, when 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. So I will bring on that land all my words that I have pronounced against it, and all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. And then over to chapter 33. Chapter 33 and verses 10 to 14. Thus says Jehovah, again there shall be heard in this place, of which you say it is desolate, without man and without beast, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate, without man and without habitation and without beast, the voice of joy. God says, again, there will be heard, in other words, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for Jehovah is good and his mercy endures forever. And those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. Now, all of this is written before the captivity ever started. So if any of them paid attention to the writings of Jeremiah, they would know when they were carted off forcibly to go to Babylon, into the Chaldean area, that someday God would bring them back and establish them back in their land. Did God fulfill his promise? Well, let's find out. Let's turn to the book of Daniel tonight. Daniel chapter 9 again. Now remember, Daniel's one of those captives. The story of Daniel is a wonderful story, an interesting story. The book of Daniel is full of prophecies concerning the future, and many of them have not come to pass yet. But much of Daniel chapter 9 is Daniel's prayer. Now, in the first year of Darius, the king of Ahasuerus, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord given through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Was Daniel serious about praying? He certainly was. And I prayed to the Lord my God, in other words, Jehovah my Elohim, and made confession. There's a key word right there, isn't there? Confession. You want God to answer your prayers? Confess your sins. And I said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes and to our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness with which we have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs mercy, forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such never has been done as has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all who are around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. For the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your holy sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplication before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. And then he says, while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Anybody know what time that is? Roughly 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. And we're not going into the prophecy. The prophecy starts at verse 24 and goes to the end of the chapter, and that is worth about 3 weeks of study, but we're not doing that tonight. But I want you to notice the prayer for fulfillment. God, it's time you carried out what you said you would do. Turn with me, if you will, back to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36. Now, if I did this last week, forgive me, but I rushed through it, and I'll probably rush through tonight to try and finish. I was way late last week, and I'll do my best not to go past our normal time of 7:10, which is kind of a preset time that I've had in my mind forever. All right, we are at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. I hope you found it. Verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. And we're not going to look at it tonight, but to understand what that is talking about, the 70 years of Sabbaths. Why? Because they had not obeyed God and let the land rest. Every seventh year, God said, you're to not plant every seventh year. You're to let the land rest. I'll give you extra in the sixth year so you can set aside to cover for the seventh year. If you will obey me, I will bless you. They didn't obey him, so God said, okay, I'm going to take you out of the land. I'm going to park you over here in Babylon for 70 years. Until we catch up all those years that you did not let the land rest as I commanded you to do so way back in the book of Moses. Now we come to Ezra chapter 1, which is the next page in my Bible. It may be two pages in yours. No, it's two pages in mine. It may be the next page in yours. Ezra chapter 1. And we read that last week, and we're not going to read it all again. But I want to come to verse 1 and go down at least to verse 5. Now in the first year of Cyrus the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing saying. Now, verse 2, 3, and 4 is the proclamation of Cyrus. No, I won't do what I was going to do. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth Jehovah God of heaven has given me. How did he know that? How did he know that? Because Daniel presented the book of Isaiah's writings to him about himself, pointing out the fact that Isaiah had written it 200 years before Cyrus was born. And Daniel goes in after that prayer of confession, after he had prepared his heart, he went into the new king. Daniel, by the way, served under five different kings. From approximately 15 years of age to approximately 85 years of age. We don't know the exact age, but that's the best we can come up with. He was taken captive as a little kid or as a teenager, young teenager. And he served through five different kings. Quite a man, huh? Quite a man. And has commanded me to build him a house in Jerusalem. How did he know that? That's what Isaiah's writing said. Who is there among you of all his people? Now he sent this out to all the Jews. May his God be with him. Now let us go up, or let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever remains in any place where he sojourns, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Then the heads of the fathers, houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all those whose spirits God had moved, rose up to go and build the house of the Lord, which was in Jerusalem. My summary, therefore, the promises of God in the New Testament will come to pass also. And so turn with me to my favorite chapter in the Bible. Anybody tell me what it is? John 14. Thank you, brother. Now, all of you have heard me say that more than once. It's a good thing to remember. What's the promise? Well, let's look at John 14, verse 2 and 3. You know it by heart, right? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you? Now you notice I changed the wording, didn't I? I take license to do that because I know that the word structure in Greek is not in the same order as what we put in English, and I don't understand it the way it's written in King James. King James says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Well, I think it means, if it were not so, would I have told you? Would I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you? If it weren't so, God's not a liar, is he? So that's why I take liberty to swap those two words. From I would to would I have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Now that's a promise, folks. And that's a promise that the saints of God have been looking forward to since the days of John and Peter and Philip and Bartholomew and Andrew and all of those guys. They've been looking for it. They looked for it all of their life, and it didn't happen. Paul looked forward all of his ministry, and it didn't happen. But he gave us some hints, didn't he? He gave us those hints about the resurrection and the trumpet call of God and the catching up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But you know, those aren't the only promise places where that promise is. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about our gathering together unto him. What does that mean? Just another way to say the rapture, isn't it? And then you come over to Revelation chapter 12 and that thing that got all the excitement back in the fall about the four blood moons and everything was going to culminate in the rapture of the church on September 23rd, 2017. Guess what? We're still here. We're still here. But the catching up in Revelation chapter 12 is talking about us. It's talking about Jesus Christ and his body being caught up. And it uses the same word that we translate rapture over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Just a little thought. Guess what? I can let you out earlier tonight. So we're going to sing tonight. I didn't sing last Sunday night because I was way over time. But I'm going to go towards the back of the hymn book. And I'm going to find one of those songs that talk about soon and very soon. Number 757. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Amen. Number 757. We got two people up. The rest of us need to be joining them. 757. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah.
Soon and very soon.
So much for the promises which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And we are looking for that promise to be fulfilled any day now. Until then, help us to be obedient. Help us to walk worthy of you unto all pleasing, and to be fruitful in every good work, and to increase in our knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, your Son, our Savior, we pray. Amen.